Local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Today is the day the Lord has made as a gift for us, and I choose to be grateful within it. And these are the times in which God has decided we will live. We're not the first people to be through some pretty freaky times with people trying to control our every breath. And we have responsibilities to one another during times like these. And that is to just be aware of where we're at. I want to remind some people before we roll into this segment of the program, because this is going to be pretty heavy, I think. There are things that no government can take from us. They cannot take our conscience. Our conscience is, I see it, is the bridge between our temporal selves, our human selves, and our souls. And our souls are the closest thing that we have to God. They can't take our conscience. We can only cede our conscience to people, to rulers. So that's something you own that they cannot take from you. They cannot take your beliefs. You can allow them to be changed. And when new information comes along and new evidence comes along, we can change our beliefs. I did that about President Trump. Changed my beliefs about him when I observed his behavior as the president. New information. But our core values, they can't take those. We can allow them to be crushed, or we can be conned out of them. But not if we have our eye on being grounded in facts. They can't take away our skepticism. And they can't take away our skeptical analysis and our innate intelligence. That can't be taken from us. It can be dumbed down. If we spend all of our time, you know, you don't spend your days eating junk food. If we spend our time consuming junk mediums, or I should say content from junk mediums, I mean, that can cause your thinking faculties to atrophy. They can't take right now voices of opposition. They're going to try. I promise you. Right-wing media, conservative media. In fact, I'll just say it this way. Non-Mockingbird media members are in the crosshairs of the left. They are going to liken us, in my judgment, to terrorists. They're going to contend that we simply sit around spewing disinformation. And so they'll pick and they'll choose and they'll draw out moments where maybe we're wrong about something. But they can't take away the skepticism of local communities, of your friends as you talk together. They can't take your love for your family. They are trying to take your kids from you. They're doing that by pushing intersectionality and critical race theory and by teaching five-year-olds that, of course, you can have hormone injections. Your parents are stupid. They're stupid and they hate you, but the government loves you. We'll give you exactly what you need because you as a boy don't have enough estrogen because you're really a girl. They're trying with sex ed in our schools. They're trying to take our kids. Now, your seventh grade teacher is really cool. He thinks that seventh grade boys and girls should have sex as a group if that's what makes them happy. That's important, they'll be told in sex ed. Whereas their parents will be aghast. Well, their parents just aren't cool, but they can't take our love. They can't take our interactions with our family. They can take our kids. I mean, physically, and that's not where we're at right now. We're thank God, not anywhere near that point. But if they take your kids' minds, what's the difference? If they consume your kids' minds, what's the difference? You have the kid's body, but not their mind. That's happening in the government schools with all sorts of programming that we've talked about on the program ad nauseum. I don't feel like I need to go back and relitigate that case with you. So those are things that can't be taken from us. And there's more. The reason I prefaced this that way was the Time magazine article where they admitted the left was bragging. Yeah, we stole the election. Yes, of course we stole the election. Now, we didn't do it. They're contending that they didn't do it through voting machines or counting ballots that ought not be counted or votes that not ought not be counted or the votes of dead people. But it's an admission. Number one, we hid access to information. We did not avail the American people of the fact that the man who lives in the White House is compromised by China. Because his son is deeply compromised by China, because his body has his family has grifted off their family name for decades of grift. So we didn't get to know that Hunter Biden was sadly a drug addict, that he at some point was apparently taking pictures of himself naked, exposing his genitalia with a young family member, a female family member laying on a bed behind him. This has never been anywhere but Reddits and subreddits, these photos. The FBI knew that this existed and they didn't care. They didn't care. They hid that information from people. They changed the voting rules to invite circumstances of fraud. Mark Zuckerberg changed the voting dynamics with $500 million, $500 million. He changed the voting dynamics, but only in Democrat areas. That's an in-kind donation to the Democrat Party. It's wildly illegal. Dinesh D'Souza went to jail for a $30,000 campaign finance violation. Mark Zuckerberg won't be going anywhere. They admitted that they coordinated with groups who were undertaking street violence and burning American cities to the ground. They did all of this to, in their words, fortify an election. And that's right there. They described stealing an election through public perception, through pretending that the riots were because of Trump, by pretending that they're peaceful, by coordinating with these groups. These groups were ready to take back to the streets if President Trump had been counted the winner the night of the election. They were ready to take to the streets to burn cities in whole as Democrat mayors stood by and allowed it to occur. That was last year. These things happened on this landmass that is no longer a United States. It's very separate countries under one government of sorts. So what I wanted to accomplish in this segment was another piece of information that has been stomped into the ground. And that is that there is a great reset. I'll make the case. Evidentiary, data, observation, my opinion, these things will be combined into this segment. The Mockingbird Media, and I can show you the headlines. The conspiracy theory of the Great Reset continues amongst Q circles in the United States. Q is obsessed with this Great Reset. I've never read a Q dispatch. It's something I can't verify. I don't know if Q is, I don't know what Q is. I just know it's online. I don't know what it is. I don't know who's putting it out. Therefore, I spend no time with it at all. But all sorts of mockingbirds told us that, no, there's no great reset. And yet, the organization that talked about the great reset, that is the World Economic Forum, and there's others and they're all connected, said, we need a great reset. We need to build back better. At the same time as we were being told that this was non-existent, fever dream, Q fever dream, swamp mentality. It's just not real. It's just fake. People are making it up. We gathered audio of bosses of countries saying this. There's a whole bunch of bosses of countries and former bosses of countries and mobbed up people like Slick Willie Jefferson, Blythe Clinton III in this. They're all saying the same thing.
Of course, we also want to work together on building back better from the pandemic, a slogan that I think that Joe has used several times. I think he may have nicked it from us.
Once we shut down the virus and deliver economic relief to workers and businesses, then we can start to build back better than before.
But it is undoubtedly an opportunity for us to work together and build back better.
Build back better.
As the world recovers, we have a chance to reset the clock and build back better than before.
And building back better our economy and society.
We owe it to future generations to build back better and base our recovery on solid foundations.
The second plank in Build Back Better advances racial equity by mobilizing our infrastructure.
Together we can fix this. Let's build back better.
Building back better after disasters is also vital to prevent creating new risks. Together we can build a safer world.
Four sets of priorities can guide the response to build back better.
You know what Donald Trump will do with four more years? Blame, bully, and belittle. And you know what Joe Biden will do? Build back better.
So you hear a scripted series of statements around one branding statement. It's meant to be exciting. We're going to be better. We're going to be safer. So how do we get there? The Great Reset is happening now. We're in it. I'll explain why I believe that and put some evidence on the table for us as we continue. Do a quick glance at traffic and then right back to this. The first sign that we're in the Great Reset is there used to be, from statists and technocrats and leftists, a sacrosanct position that was my body, my choice.
My body, my choice. My body, my choice. My body, my choice. My body, my choice.
You have not been allowed to use your body as you see fit for over a year. You've not been allowed to take your body into a crowd of people that other people could choose to stay away from. You've not been allowed to use your body to earn a living. If you own a small business or work at a small business, building back better is about building back without key freedoms. Your freedoms are selfish. Our betters will tell us that. Tony Fauci took control of the United States. Local so-called health professionals have taken control of the United States. Governors have seized control of the United States over contrived emergency orders. You can break these orders apart very simply with a simple comparison. In schools, we're told all the people will die if the kids go back until Joe Biden occupies the White House. Then the Democrat governors are saying, oh, let's get the children back. But when the schools were shut down, they operated as daycare centers for extra money. It was never about protecting the kids or the teachers from the COVID flu. It was about shutting the schools down and creating a sense of fear. If it was about protecting the kids and the adults, how on earth could they have daycares in the schools? Is one the building is safe when it's a daycare with adults and kids mixed together, but it's a death trap if it's adults and kids mixed together and it's a school day? There is no science behind that at all. There can't be. It's an impossibility. It doesn't exist because it cannot exist. The Great Reset began by now teaching a generation of kids to fear the air in which they walk, to do as they're told, even covering up their faces, in contravention to all medical scientific rigor. And then there's the limiting of information. My body, my choice. Women know what an abortion does. They can say they choose to believe it doesn't end the life. There are women who've had tubal ligations, and it's a horrible decision. The fetus grows in the tube and it could kill you. I recognize that. I do. I happen to think abortion, except in cases of rape and incest, is a clear-cut case, or case where there's the rare case where a woman could lose her life. In that case, it's a Jobian decision that you have to make. But people are not being told what is happening to their bodies with the mRNA injections. There is no focus from the mockingbirds that this is new tech. I would think that it would be news to people worthy of knowing that lipid nanoparticles in these mRNA injections go into your brain for a respiratory virus. with a 99.87% recovery rate. And we talked last hour about some of the vicious side effects of this. Remember the Time magazine piece. They limited access to information. You're not getting that information about these vaccines or so-called vaccines, because they don't inoculate, from anybody but me or Alex Berenson or the former chief science officer of Pfizer who predicted these things. But Mark Zuckerberg knows. Oh, he'll disappear you from Facebook for saying this, but he said it during a private employee
meeting. We just don't know the long-term side effects of basically modifying people's DNA and RNA.
He knows that. He said it himself. Part of the Great Reset is, look, we got to make sure that the simpletons don't know these things. Smart people can deal with it, like Zuck, because he's a genius. The same way they hid Hunter Biden, they're hiding the details of the mRNA injections. Why? Why? I have thought about going to get the injections, but I don't want to waste any time of any healthcare provider. But I thought about like going there, and before I was shot up saying, hey, just one second, how does this work? And they do the, well, it, you know, helps your body practice fighting. Oh, no, no, I get that. I get the theory. I understand how traditional vaccines work. How do the lipid nanoparticles contribute to my safety? By the way, why am I building spike proteins in my cells? Why does that need to go into my brain? I can't answer that. The Great Reset is happening now. It's happening with the redistribution of monies and felons. This just occurred to me. You see that Brad Pitt movie, Ad Astra? Do you remember this scene where Brad Pitt is asked all sorts of questions by a computer?
Dad, I'd like to see you again. I recall how we used to watch black and white movies together. Musicals were your favorite.
Alex, it's not the scene I wanted. In Ad Astra, Brad Pitt, to get into the spaceship to fly to Mars or to fly anywhere, it, on a daily basis, it checks his mental health. It asks him questions like, do you have a high level of stress today? Are you having any bad thoughts? How is your mental health? It asks these questions of Brad Pitt before he can go about his workday. The Great Reset's happening now. Children in Los Angeles, with courtesy help from Microsoft, for a virus that statistically speaking is less deadly to these children than dog bites, with all the scientific rigor showing kids are not a driver of this disease. In fact, they don't pass this on to parents or grandparents in any meaningful set of data, are going to be greeted this way at schools.
There's never been anything like this virus in our lifetime. Often, it's hard to see the effects it's having on our children. Has this conversation taken place in your home?
Mom, I'm scared about going back to school. I don't want to get sick, and I don't want to get you and Dad sick.
Our scientists tell us there are three things we must do to stay safe. Wear masks, make sure we social distance, and wash our hands. And now, your school, with the help of Microsoft Corporation, has created another. Introducing Daily Pass, your exclusive ticket for safely going back to school. Each week, you can schedule your free on-campus COVID test. The results are displayed in your Daily Pass. And if you choose to take your test off campus, you can post the results in your Daily Pass. And the moment vaccinations are available, you'll simply be able to schedule yours through your Daily Pass. But the real magic is your daily health check. Just answer a few simple health questions every day, and like magic, your entrance ticket appears.
Welcome back. So, how did it go?
Dad, I have to admit, I was scared at first, but then I felt so safe. It was so good to be back. Thanks for keeping me safe. I love you so much.
It's the most manipulative junk I've ever heard. It's sickening. It's sick. to teach parents that their kids being tracked every second of their life is keeping them safe from a virus that is not a danger to them. It's sick. And it's part of the reset. I can't say this clearly enough to you. Silicon Valley wants GPS units in your car. They're doing it in Washington State. They're going to blackmail you in to having GPS units in your car so they will choose where you drive and at what time through monetary penalties, through blackmail. They want access to you every minute of the day. They want to be able to force you to take products they want you to take into your bodies. Now, how else am I to see this data? How else am I to look at this unfolding and give you any other projection? They're normalizing this. This is the time in which God has decided we will live. I like my blood platelets just fine. I'm not going to have them destroyed by an mRNA injection. I won't be taking one ever. This is the battle of our time. Remember, there's things they can't take from us. By the way, I shouldn't have drug Alex publicly. It's not his fault. Alex is the best producer in radio. It's my fault for being ambiguous about what I wanted out of that clip. I apologize to my friend and my colleague, Alex Overall. Sorry about that, Alex. You are the best. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.
It's your turn to text the Todd Herman Show.
The rule's pretty simple.
Be concise, be precise, and drop the mic. 800-465-8770.
As just to prove my point from the last segment about you're in the Great Reset now, New York Post reports, New Yorkers must flash a COVID-19 passport to enter venues such as sports arenas, theaters, and other businesses. I beg you to be okay with not going into those places. I beg you. I beg you to not be dead weight on liberty. I know that's a tough phrase, and I mean it in tough love. I beg you to not let this work. I am perfectly fine with the fact that I am not allowed to fly on an airplane. I am perfectly fine with the fact that I am not allowed to attend a sporting event. It's doesn't feel good. And I'll tell this to small businesses. If you ever want to exist again, you will say no to this. I will not enter your store. If you participate in a COVID pass thing, I will never again walk into your business. I may have things sent to me from you, but I will not participate in this farce, this theater, for a virus with a 99.87% survival rate. That's your Great Reset. You do what the bosses tell you, even to the point of shooting things into your body. Or you don't get to participate in society. Count me out. I will not do it, ever. And I beg you to think really long and hard about what you're agreeing to. If you give in to this farce. To the text line, Florida Rosie May, help! Can you please put your document somewhere other than Scribd? Access was only for 30 days. Now I'll have to pay a monthly fee. Looking for the information on the nanoparticles that pass the blood-brain barrier, the body-brain barrier. Listen, Rosie, Florida Rosie, I put new document versions up of that all the time. All you have to do is download the document I sent you, and you can have access to it. So you could go in, for instance, and clear your cache, your cookie cache, and erase Scribd. And that way they wouldn't know it was you. I mean, that's one thing you could do. The other thing you could do is download the documents as they come out. That way you have access to it forever. Alex, do me a favor. Send Rosie. I'll send you a PDF of this and send it back to Rosie in a form that she can use it. I appreciate that. Child of God, I'm assuming my tax dollars are paying for all the vaccine, quote, yes, got it. Child of God, good job. For all the, quote, vaccine commercials on the radio. If so, why are the elected Republicans in Washington State not demanding input into decisions about the efficacy of the so-called vaccine and the lockdown in general? I'll address those in this order. Republicans are afraid to talk about vaccines because they're afraid of being called names. They're afraid to talk about the mRNA injections because they're afraid of being called names. They're afraid of being called COVID deniers. They're afraid of being called anti-vax. And yet two things can be true at once. I've been pro-vaccine my whole life. These are not vaccines. These are gene therapy. I'm not going to be taking them. And why aren't Republicans demanding input into the state? Oh, they're asking for it. They're asking really nicely. We'd like some input. We'd like Inslee to give up his dictatorial so-called emergency powers for a non-emergency. But they're not protesting. If the Republican leadership in this state of Washington had any guts, all of them would appear together at businesses in violation of these orders to show that there is a protest afoot. They would do that. They won't because they're afraid. With some key exemptions to that, some brave Republicans, Republican leadership in Washington state is afraid of taking this issue on in any seriousness. Sole proprietor. Their, quote, scientific data that says that you don't know one with a penis is a boy and one with a vagina is a girl. This is the reason I do not believe there's scientific data on COVID, masking, etc. This is a better observation than you might know, sole proprietor. The so-called science around the COVID was softened. It used to mean when you said in the medical world, a case, we have a case of COVID-19. That would mean that a person had a fever, maybe some difficulty breathing, and you had cultured the virus. Right? You can do it with the fever and the aches and the respiratory, and you've ruled out some other things, and you can say, okay, this is a likely case. A confirmed case would mean you had cultured the virus. That can't be done with a 35-cycle PCR test. It cannot accomplish that. They changed the meaning of case, and it had the effect of making this virus seem far worse than it is. They also changed the way deaths are counted. They softened the science. It's the same way that they're softening the science to say, this person was born in the wrong body. They're softening it to the point of it doesn't exist. At the same time as it's a scientific, technocratic takeover of society, they're softening science. Edmunds Troll, Todd, the duration of my body, my choice screaming was unbearable. Please keep it to under 2 seconds in the future. Thanks to your for your attention to this important issue. Thank you. Scooter, Todd, you got to stop. I just started to get it together and you talk about Rush or play something like that. We played the discussion I had with Rush's beloved wife, Catherine, or a very small part of that discussion. We played that earlier in the show. You should go to rushlimbaugh.com and see the pictures of Rush's funeral. So beautifully done. And I think they have the conversation I had yesterday with Catherine Limbaugh up there. Scooter says, I've listened to Rush since he started in Seattle. Just FYI, for a rodeo clown, you're all right. Scott from Texas. All right. And Scott, thank you for that, for listening all the way from Texas. And congratulations on Texas being Texas again, now that Governor Abbott has lifted these insane, medically useless, deadly lockdown provisions. Last word, Average Joe. Good morning, Emerald City Exile. You've been listening to me feeling for Rush where they use that. Appreciate it. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show with a personal note featuring this incredible conversation between Rush and Catherine Limbaugh.
Down on Main Street. Down on Main Street.
On a personal note today, I want to play a conversation between Rush Limbaugh and his wife, Catherine. This is at rushlimbaugh.com, and I encourage you to go there and listen to it again. And I want you to hear Rush's state of mind and Catherine's state of mind as they're talking about Rush's funeral. This Catherine said yesterday they recorded this in October of last year, so a couple of months before Rush passed.
So I am walking with Rush and explaining to him his event. And I told him all he has to do is show up, which I've also arranged.
Yeah, and it is an event, and it's awesome. I mean, I hope you get invited to it.
Yeah.
I mean, what she just described to me is incredible. I'm sorry, I'm going to miss it.
But you're going to have a front row seat.
But I just said to her, I can't believe it's so cool.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm sitting here talking to her about my funeral.
But we decided that we would be open and direct on it so that we can plan it very beautifully. And I told Rush that he is just shy of a president, and presidents get this kind of treatment, so he deserves that.
So that's a little heads up on what's coming.
It's going to be beautiful. Be there or be square. Rush, don't be late.
That's up to you.
We often don't control when we die. In fact, I hope you never control when you die. We can control the state of things prior to that to our best of our ability. I listen to Rush and I hear a man at peace. He had, in his way, settled things with his creator. And Rush communicated to us in his last few months his deep belief in God and his decision to be a Christ follower. That's his decision. It matches with my view of things, and in that way, it resonates with me. Are you settled? Do you have that settled? It's something that's going to happen to all of us. We're going to face that day. So Rush felt at peace. Catherine said as much yesterday. They are at peace in that clip. You hear the love and the warmth that radiates through the radio. When my father was dying, and he had been in unconscious for a day and a half, when he woke up, before he saw me and my sister, he wanted to see his ex-wife, my mom. And she went in, and together they sang the Cougars fight song, because they were Washington State Cougars together. And she led him in that song. And my father had divorced my mother in some painful circumstances. But that was gone. They were good friends. And my mom misses my father, and my father has a beautiful, great son, his half-brother to me. That was settled. They were okay. I have a vision for how I would choose my death to occur. I would be surrounded by the people I love. Most important to me is my wife and my daughter. I would want the opportunity to speak to my daughter, to say, hey, I'm not going to be here to have a dog in the hunt anymore. And I want to leave you with these words. And so I do that bit by bit in writing. She's heard enough of my voice. So I do it in writing. One of the other things so hard to do. When my father was ultimately dying in the hospital, his brother came in, my great uncle. I love my uncles. And he said to my dad, this is when you need to fight it. My dad had lost liver function and kidney function. And I put my hand on my uncle's hand and I said, no, this is when it's accepted. It was very hard for my uncle, the middle brother of the three brothers, to accept. But it was God's will. The way we are when we die and the relationships that we have are a result of the way we are when we live. If you don't yet have these things in order, I beg you to get them in order. Not to be morbid, but to be factual. That day's coming for you. It's coming for us. Get in order with your Creator as you see it, and with your family. and talk about it. Make a plan. The Great Rush Limbaugh program is next. This is the Todd Herman Show. We air every weekday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Go be well, be strong, and be kind.